good evening, dear brethren, to those of you. We have not had the privilege to greet already. It's so nice to see so many of you here. I sure hope Emil can find a switch back there that gives us a little cool air in here. After that nice dinner this evening, you might sleep through this, but the next discourse, Brother Montague is here, so please don't sleep through that one. But we do sincerely welcome you here to this convention. This is the annual Bible Students Convention, 47th annual Bible Students Convention. Some of you may not have your programs, but we'll try to have some programs for you tomorrow. We sent out a lot of programs, and as a result, we have quite a few here, and we're thrilled about that. So, it's great. In our day, we hear a lot about peace. And that's what we wanted to talk a little bit about this evening, peace on earth. Now, we know at the time, even since Adam's disobedience, there has never been really peace upon the earth. There have been wars, country against country, and brother against brother, father against son, and neighbor against neighbor. And even today, there's a great war brewing. As we all know, there's a deadline, 15th of January, to where we're hopeful that some means by which the intervention of God might stop that conflict. Because we realize that it will be a deadly conflict and that many lives will be lost. But as we know according to history, that some of the bloodiest wars that have ever been fought were over religious preferences. And so we realize that here we see a lack of peace, even though there have been great nations gathered together under this contract of negotiations of trying to bring peace on earth and goodwill to men. But instead of that, we see bloodshed. We have seen this throughout the history of the world. And so we realize that you and I are here in a peaceful condition. We welcome you here in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in a peaceful, joyful, hopeful condition for the hope that we have within our hearts and minds to God Almighty through His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in making arrangements for this great peace that shall be brought to all mankind eventually. We realize that many nations have looked for peace. Even as we look at the great nation in which we are part of here in this North America, we realize that the Indian people, Redskin people, were, we might say, subdued in order that so-called peace might be acquired. We know that it was much bloodshed. But these things were a difference. And the people that in our history that did these things under the name of peace, that they might have peace. And yet, it wasn't the peace that God had purposed that the human family would be. A love welling up in every heart and meeting a kindred response in every other heart. So, you and I know these things, and we look forward to the time when there will be this great peace upon the whole human family. So we are here gathered together in this place, desirous of harmony and peace with each other. We know that we're going to find that because we're dwelling here in the Spirit of God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Many of these great reconciliations that have been delved into and tried to be made in the name of peace were done for a purpose, and that was a very selfish purpose. And we know that this was true when the settlement of this country and the taking of the Indian people here. Not until our Lord's birth was there any hope for peace. And as we look into the scriptures, just read that one scripture in Luke, the second chapter, in verses 10 through 14, as it reminds us of the time of the year in which we all celebrate, or the world celebrates, our Lord's birth. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, that you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Even at that time, the angels even sang. We know that there will be a time when there will be this peace that was sought. Even though that we know that when Christ came, he knew that he didn't come to bring peace. Because it is written in the scriptures that this was not his purpose at that time. As we read in Matthew 10:34, it says, "Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I am not to send peace, but a sword." We realize that our Lord, in the context of these scriptures, was talking about when you and I came into the truth, that perhaps that maybe our brothers, our sisters, our mothers, our fathers, our members of our family, members of our friends, would not accept us for what we were as we made a consecration to the Heavenly Father. I know that some of us, or many of us, have gone through these, we might say, bitter experiences where quite an opposite of peace, and this is true, it has brought not peace, but disharmony, even among families. We know that many of our brethren down through the age have had opposition from their families in religious beliefs and took their stand against that truth. And from throughout the gospel age, we realize that these words of our Lord that we just read have been true. That it did bring division among families, and ties that were loving ties of friendship and a bond of love toward each other have been broken. In John, the 16th chapter, let's read a few verses there, beginning the 23rd verse. It says, "In that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you." "Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." To think that we have the privilege of going to the Heavenly Father, and that the joy and peace that we have with the Heavenly Father and a communion with him adds great joy to us in our everyday Christian life. "These things have I spoken unto you that in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I shall say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am coming to the world again, and I leave the world and go to the Father. He is saying here that he has made a relationship that we can go directly to God and have the peace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. For his name, he is there. He says that I would go that he might bring peace to us. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. In other words, tell us what you're saying and don't tell us a proverb. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. And Jesus answered them, Do you believe? Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered. And he was talking about the disciples at that time, during the time of his crucifixion. Every man on his own order, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, but the Father, because the Father is with me. In this 33rd verse, it says, These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So we see that our Lord here was making a way of peace for us. And this is what you and I have entered into in a covenant relationship. We have peace with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Turning back to John, the 14th chapter and the 27th verse, it says, Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so we see that here we have a great harmony among the people that are God's people. And we're gathered together here in this relationship at this convention, and we're going to hear God's word expounded to us here to bring us not only closer together, but a realization of God's plans and purposes for the rehabilitation of the human family right here on God's green earth. What an encouragement, what an incentive. What other place would we rather be than to be here with our brethren of like precious faith in this precious condition of love toward each other, to our brethren. Turn to Philippians, the 4th chapter, and verses 7 through 9. As we read, The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Yes, this peace that the world cannot have, but it keeps your hearts and minds, it keeps mine. If we continue to endeavor to stay in harmony with the Heavenly Father. I'd like to read on through the 9th verse here. It says, Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And these are not things that the world thinks on. It's the things that we think of spiritually, isn't it? The things that God has imparted to us, and he has given us a heritage that we can look forward to, of the blessing of all the families of the earth. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. It's telling us to be able to be of this mind. And the God of peace shall be with you. And so we realize that in a covenant relationship we have with the Heavenly Father, that we do have peace, not as the world has it. We realize that many of the people we see on television, almost every day on TV here, that and during the news broadcast, they'll bring someone from Saudi Arabia to the a little broadcast there. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Wife, daughter, so on. And a blessing and a well-wishing from them to their families here. And a reciprocation is like manner. Many of the people here have gone to great means to send foods, cookies, all kinds of goodies and things to the people there in Saudi Arabia. We've seen a lot of people leave here from the 161st Division. And there was one person that even showed a refueling in the air. That's what some of the people from here do. So it is that they want peace, but they're willing to fight and bloodshed to bring this peace. We know that it's the way of the world, but it won't always be this way, because God said that He would take away those implements of war, and they would never return again. In Romans, the 5th chapter and the 1st verse, it's a very wonderful text to all of us. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a peace this is to those who have made this covenant relationship to the Heavenly Father. Those that God has found, those that He has called out of the world into His marvelous light of truth. And I know that each of you feel this peace toward God and love toward each other, as there is no other love that can be equal to that of the love of brethren. For it says that, how do you know that you've passed from death, or from Adam's death, into a justified condition and to life? Because you love a brother. Doesn't matter who they are, what age they are, but they are brethren in Christ, and you do love them. And so we see this, and it's said that we see this, and it's recorded as a crooked and a perverse nation. We know this, don't we? We're living amongst aliens here, really, on earth. Or we are really this in a spiritual condition. I had selected some cards here to be at this time, at this point, just going to be one. It says, because Jesus came, we can have peace with God, be filled with all joy, bound in hope, be justified freely, be alive toward God, have the spirit of wisdom, be under grace, know the hope of His calling, be conformed to His image, be a child of God, be His heir, have victory, know the richness of His glory, and of His inheritance. Be more than conquerors. Be enriched by Him in everything. Be strengthened with might by His Spirit. Be to the praise of His glory. Be rooted and grounded in love. Be filled with His fullness. Be renewed day by day. Be blessed with all spiritual blessings. Have a hope laid up in heaven. And all of these things we see, such a wonderful God, and how our hearts are overflowed and overjoyed as we gather together to be renewed here at a mountaintop experience, fellowshipping with one another, considering the truths together, and to have this peace that we have from each other. In Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 6 through 9, it says, "For to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be." I never noticed that before in that scripture until I realized that the world of mankind are not under trial for life at this. That scripture proves that to us, doesn't it? That they're not under trial for life at this particular time. "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of the his." And so we see that there are qualifications, there are stipulations, there are rules, that we are to keep ourselves in the love of God. We are to be obedient to the Heavenly Father. We're supposed to be straightforward in all of our life's affairs with anyone that we meet on the street or our friends and neighbors. You know, at one time I could have said I don't have any enemies. But maybe some of you may have an enemy too. But it is not easy to live with a circumstance like that. Someone who, without cause that you know, rightfully became your enemy. But it says that we are to love our enemies and that we are to be at peace with all men. And sometimes it can only be one way, and that's with you in your love and response to someone else. In Romans, the 16th chapter and the 20th verse. "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly." That's quite a statement, isn't it? And perhaps never at any other time in the history of this book are we closer to that being fulfilled. The feet members are to be completed through that mystical body of Christ, that Satan might be bruised under your feet. The feet members of the anointed, the feet members of the church class. I have a text in Ephesians, the 4th chapter and the 14th verse, that I wanted to read from the Dialog translation. It gives just a little different thought and some different words than it gives in the regular translation. It says, "So that we may be infants, no longer tossed and whirled about with every wind of that teaching which is in the trickery of men, by cunning craftiness in systematic deception." We know that the whole world lies in the wicked one. We know that that's the reason that the world has not peace, but division. So we know that it is only going to come when it's due time to come. We can't convert the world. God hadn't meant to convert the world at this time. And so we realize that you and I are not fooled by these things, as the scripture says. We have not been deceived by the cunning trickery of men. I'd like to continue with the 15th verse in their regular translation, the fourth verse, fourth chapter in the 15th verse. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. That's why we're here. We're endeavoring to mutually make a bond of love one to another, of peace and joy, for the hope that we have and we share for this kingdom to come, that His will, God's will, might be done in earth, even as it is in heaven all time. According to the effectual work in the measure of every part, making increase of the body into the edifying itself in love. And that's what we're doing here. This convention has been invited to mutually partake of the blessings of love and joy and fellowship, doctrine, and truth, the water of life to us. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as the Gentiles walk, nor as other people walk, in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkness, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness. Well, that word means loose conduct or lawlessness. To work out all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. We have not learned these things. But we have learned that we are to be righteous. Our goal is our Lord. Be ye holy as He is holy. What a standard we could never attain to. But we are to endeavor to do so. This is why that it has been said that this is a high calling of God. What a mark. What a disposition that we must have. What a transformation must take place within us to have the mind of Christ. The work is within us. It is ours to do. We cannot do it for anyone else. We have all we can do to take care of ourselves. But we are here together to build each other up in the most holy faith. So we realize that this great work is for us to work out our own salvation. There are some neat scriptures in the 57th chapter of Isaiah. We'd like to share with you just three verses. And they're verses 19, 20, and 21. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is afar off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. For the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And so we realize that through this crooked and perverse nation, that there cannot be peace until the time that God has appointed for a blessing that will be to them. Perhaps that the work of this age is in many forms. We realize that there are to be a filling of the earth, the propagation of the earth. We don't know. You and I see the vast desolation of the wildernesses. We only need to get airborne and fly through the country and look at the great desolation of the earth. And a little city here, not a large city there, but the vast wilderness, to think of the inhabitants to be here upon this earth. This earth was to be populated. This was God's plan. We don't know, you and I don't know, when there have been enough people born to this planet to populate this earth, but God does. And He's going to take care of that, isn't He? And this is why that we have so much peace and hope and are in harmony with God. Because we know that the man, Christ Jesus, came to provide the ransom for the human family. And we know that God, in His wisdom, His great wisdom, His mind, and the foreknowledge of God, provided all of this that man might be peaceful here in a loving place at God's green earth eventually. I have a few more things to read here from about Jesus. It says the faithful one, the confidence we have, the trust we hold, the hope we carry, rest in His fullness, every promise He has made, He purposes to fulfill. He has the authority to accomplish all He has spoken. His power is limitless. His character changeless. His love endless. And so as we think of these things, think of the convention that is before us here these 3 days, what a wonderful blessing that we hope to share with each other. It's so nice to see so many of you here. And so as we have said, I think the thought work should be an outstanding word within us. And we use this word work, as to give a couple of thoughts. And perhaps if you've slept through part of this, why, you get this word work. Just kidding. Very good attendance there, and we enjoy seeing all here so blessed by being here. The word W, the letter W, pardon me, means welcome to the Phoenix Convention. Also in John 6:29, it says, "This is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He has sent." That the world doesn't believe on Him who God has sent, but you and I know that. The letter O means that you are ordained of God. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. The letter R stands for the three R's. We've heard that before, haven't we? That means ransom, restitution, and resurrection. And the letter K is for knowledge. Knowledge that we have acquired from the continual work that God is doing within us. And that means that we are to work out our own salvation. That God is working within us. He is keeping us in His love. And finally, I have something here for the new year, which is going to be here shortly during this convention. A New Year's wish. What shall I wish thee? Treasures of earth, songs in the springtime, pleasures and mirth, flowers in the pathway, skies ever clear. Would this ensure thee a happy new year? What shall I wish thee? What can be found? Bring thee sunshine all the year round. Where is the treasure, lasting and dear, that shall ensure thee a happy new year? Faith that increaseth, walking in light, hope that aboundeth, happy and bright, love that is perfect, casting out fear, these shall ensure thee a happy new year. Peace in the Savior, rest at his feet, smile of his countenance, radiant and sweet, joy in his presence, Christ ever near, this will ensure thee a happy new year. May the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Lloyd, for those admonitions and exhortations and promises from the Lord himself.
Let us pray. Our great and all-wise, loving, eternal Heavenly Father, in the righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we come into thy hallowed presence to thank you, dear Father, for our many bountiful blessings. We're thankful for the presence of our brethren here at this convention. And we ask a special blessing on each of the messages that are to come from this convention to us, that we may be receptive to thy words of truth and that we may assimilate those things and put those things into practice within our lives. To this end, we ask thy blessing on this service, upon each of our hearts and minds, and we do continue to pray for thy promised kingdom. Thy kingdom come, that thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. To thy name's honor and glory we pray and ask. Pray in Jesus' name.